So I think bumper stickers are taking it a little bit too far nowadays. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I'm not an expert on this, but like didn't bumper stickers used to be like your sports team?
Honor roll student's a big one.
Yeah, like where you went to school.
Yeah.
You know, but like now, like I'm
branch of the military.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Now we're talking. You know, but then the other day I'm sitting behind somebody and it was like, if you're following this close, you better be pulling my hair. Like, what the fuck? Excuse
pulling,
me?
Pulling my
hair?
Yeah,
it was a chick.
Really?
It was a girl driving like
a
truck.
I would hope so.
Yeah, well.
I mean, not everyone goes that way.
Hey, 2018, but it would be kind of funny if it was like an older man. You know? Like, yeah. I really just like it when guys pull my hair.
Yeah.
Or lasses. Let's not discriminate.
I was in Atlanta. There was this guy, older dude in the car, just blasting DMX, you know, redneck dude with baseball cap. He was just like, I am about to lose control.
Up in here.
Up in here.
It's funny when you don't expect the driver to look like what they look like.
Yeah.
You know, just based on the car or the sticker or the music.
Yeah.
But we saw another one. I was with my wife the other day, and we saw another one where it was like, I've been chasing whitetail all my life. And sure enough, it was like a decal with like a carved out like rear end of a deer, but then a girl bending over. Like, so he had to, he felt the need to clarify, like, not only is it about white, like, because I hunt, but I'm also chasing ass. But white chicks, specifically white chicks.
Wow.
You know?
That's kind of terrible.
I mean, why don't they just put it out there? You know what I'm saying? Just a flat out sticker like, I am a rapist.
Like boating.
And I hunt.
I like to have sex. Like, wow, that guy in front of me.
Whoa.
You know?
Would you believe it?
Yeah, what do they think? People are going to read that and be like, that's awesome.
I know, right?
This guy likes...
They're just taking it
this
too
guy
far.
Likes whitetail. Yeah, man, I'm down with that. Come on, high five
I
him.
Know.
He my hero.
Pull up to him and stop like, yeah.
Pull up at the stoplight and just give him the fist of pride. Just, yeah, buddy, I see you doing you. I want to be you.
He starts getting honks. You know? I'm proud of you.
Yeah, that is a little much, especially for the bumper sticker.
Right.
Putting it out there for everyone to see.
Yeah.
That's what you're most proud of.
I know.
Yeah, it's like everything's like that nowadays, though. Like, Facebook, everything, you know, everybody just puts all their shit out there.
I'm a sadomasochist.
Yeah, I was like,
whoa.
You know? Like, it's none of my business.
I didn't need to know that.
It's showtime.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
I'm sitting on a gold mine.
Don't make me smack you, sweetheart. I'll do it.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
Taking paws off me, you damn dirty ape. This town needs an enema.
It is most non-heinous.
Welcome to Comic-Cons, a geek podcast for the rest of us. Who are the rest of us? My name is Nick Stevens. With me today, my special friends, returning friend and guest, Sean Lemley.
What's up, everyone?
My man. And first time today, my friend. I didn't even check with you if you wanted to do an alias for this thing.
Just, you get to say my name.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. I'm not like Andron 3030 or no?
Just... First name.
My man Andy. He's here in the flesh.
All right.
Thanks for coming. thanks for being here. Yeah. Thanks for just coming over here and just hanging out. It's good to see you guys.
Yeah. You know? We're having a good time, enjoying the wonderful day it is.
We're in the
sitting
garage.
Out here in the middle of the woods, listening to the birds tweet underneath the shade of the big oak elm trees.
See, I already ruined it, though, because I said garage right before you
well,
said
it. Well, goddamn it, bleep that out then.
So I just ruined the bit.
All right. You know, I tried. No, we are enjoying the wonderful confines of a concrete garage.
But the door is open.
The door is open, so all of your neighbors can stare right into us and see how kind of weird they are. Yeah. They're totally judging us.
It's funny because a lot of the guys are like, we'll see the stuff in here and like see me, you know, out here. And they'll be like, oh, so you're a musician, right? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah. You know? I mean, in a sense, you're just not working on music stuff at that time.
I think it's easier to explain than be like, actually, no, it's a... I have a podcast. People come over. They're my friends. We plug in the mic and we just talk. Yeah. What the fuck is a podcast?
What the fuck is a podcast? That's one of those things you get kind of the polite nod of understanding, and then no, they don't think anything else about it.
You know what? Quick side note. I don't want to derail this show or anything like that, but do you know? Have you noticed? Or I don't want to get too meta even. You know, we could get about podcasts while doing a podcast.
Whoa.
I had to do that voice too. While doing a podcast.
Sounds like the strip club voice. we got ISIS on stage B.
ISIS? Oh my God.
That's her name.
ISIS. I don't know.
Mercedes.
That's also a god right?
Yeah.
I guess that would be not so popular nowadays. We got terrorista.
We go. All right, go. Put your hands together for Al-Qaeda. All right. Don't forget to tip your extra 2-for-1 lap dances. That's that Mission Impossible theme. Nick, is your only recollection from a strip club from Paper Moon? Because there are other strip clubs in the United States.
Oh, God, man. I tried to go there recently. It was sad. I couldn't do it, man. I went there. It was snowing. It was like, yeah, the stripper just, you know, was talking to me, and she was like, yeah, the best strippers are the ones on meth. And I was like, oh my God.
The way to just call themselves out like that.
I was like, oh, man, I feel bad.
By the way, I'm on meth, too.
Jesus Christ. You know, yikes. It's funny you talk about strippers because the movie we're talking about today has strip club scenes in it.
Which you wouldn't actually think is, you know, that out of the ordinary. There are a lot of movies that have strip club scenes in it.
Sure.
But when you think of how a first this is for the studio that this film came from, you know, it's definitely a little wowing.
The format that the movie is in, the medium, one might say.
Yeah, yeah.
An animated movie with a strip club, again, not too faux pas, you know, heavy metal,
cool of course. World.
Ralph Bakshi from the 70s. We've seen it before. Strange to animated nudity. I get turned on with a little bit of nudity in animation. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, guess if the skirt's drawn high enough.
You know, the X-Men swimsuit issue. Hey.
It was Image for me.
Crickets.
Crickets.
It was the Image one for me.
Oh, man, Gen 13, man. The way they drew those characters. In the lines. They
who
stayed
drew that?
In
was that
lines.
Jim Lee?
Layfield.
Yeah,
it
was Jim Lee. Or Layfield.
It might have been Layfield.
Yeah. It was Layfield. Yeah,
is Rob it Layfield? Layfield?
I don't know. I've only read it.
Layfield. Is that it? Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I know the right answer.
Email us at comiccons@gmail.com at gmail.com if you know how to say Rob Liefeld's last name.
Or Layfield.
Or Layfield. So this movie is Suicide Squad. Hell to Pay.
Yeah.
Motherfucker is coming back from the grave.
And just so that everyone knows, if anyone has seen Batman Assault on Arkham, this movie completely threw that one out and it never existed. Right. So that one is just completely erased from the
canon.
The canon, thank you. Of,
is it really?
Of the DC animated continuity.
Is that like an official thing that they're just pretending that one doesn't exist? Or was
can just tell from the dialogue in this that one never occurred.
They never met.
The only thing I can't quite remember because I haven't seen the cover of it, even though I just watched it, if Batman Assault on Arkham, which is technically a Suicide Squad movie, if that is taken from the video game world.
Sure.
Because, you know, all those Batmans had the one very stylistic font for saying the logo Batman.
Right.
That's why I would need to see it to know if it's specifically from that. But
you raise an interesting point. That's more of a Batman-driven story with kind of the Suicide Squad as the background, like Batman's in it.
No, I disagree. I think that one is more of a Suicide Squad movie, it follows them and their antics through a situation where Batman is fighting Joker and looking for Joker's hidden dirty bomb.
So maybe more like Justice League Dark, where they were like, look, maybe these people don't know who these guys are, so we're going to try to lure some fans in and try to get some people to buy this DVD that normally wouldn't by putting Batman's face on the cover.
Exactly.
Got you.
Yeah. No. Him and Joker are just total gimmicks through this. Right.
I mean, pick it up. Trust me. You don't need to know who Copperhead is or Black Tiger. Nick, it's Bronze Tiger. It's Bronze Tiger.
Yeah, actually. I knew who Bronze Tiger was. I knew who Bronze Tiger is, but I had no idea who the fuck Blockbuster is.
Yeah, yeah. There's some extra side, I guess saying B characters would be generous, some C characters in this movie, right?
Well,
yeah,
I didn't know. But hey, so did Assault on Arkham. They had KG Beast in it. I mean.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just the random communist guy who never, he just loves his faithful Mother Russia so much, and his hand is a gun. So he's a KG Beast.
Man. That's a great character.
Not a beast at all. He just has a gun for a hand. How does that make him a beast?
So you're the resident comics expert, I would say, out of the three of us here, right? Yeah. Is that fair to say?
That's fair, Andy.
You know, give a little background here, Andy. We've all known each other. We're three of the four horsemen of drinking here.
You know? Oh yeah.
What happened to the fourth horseman?
I've been trying to contact him.
Oh, really? He's in the wind.
I can't get a response, but I'm still trying. I'm not giving up hope.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've all known each other for a long time. We've all kind of been into this shit, all in the comics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
My sister got me into comics. You know, without her, I probably wouldn't have read half the shit that I've read. And I think she's, you know, likewise. I think you guys have traded books with her and stuff like that.
Oh, very much so. Yeah.
So could any of you give me a brief background on like the actual origin of the Suicide Squad? Because when we did the movie way back in 2016, I was like, I think it was me and Buddy Hamilton. We were both conning the shit out of this thing. We were like, I don't fucking know. I mean, there's some bad guys and they fucking break out.
No, shit. I mean, it's exactly as they've explained it in the movies. I mean, I can't remember when it came out. I want to say it was mid to late 80s when it came out. I actually bought the first issue of it. It was at like Comic-Con. It was on sale for like $20, so sure, why not? I mean, it's not a high grossing book, but it's with the popularity of Harley Quinn and everything, it's really boosted the interest in this group. It's exactly as they explain. It's a covert operation started by Amanda Waller to take actual prisoners, put them on the streets to do these missions and these jobs in exchange for time off their sentence, things like that.
And if they don't comply, they get the
they get their head blown
the
off.
The running man.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. I mean, so I mean, that's really it. I don't know that much more about it. I can't remember who the artist was, who the author was.
The name Ostrander sticks out to me.
Ostrander.
Yeah, is that one of the guys who created the? I got to throw out some kind of credibility here so that, you know, we get all these emails, you know.
Yeah, for all of our adoring fan.
Actually, one guy recently emailed me and was like, "What are you going to do all the contemporary like stuff, the Fantastic Four and the Hulk and all that stuff?" Cuz I guess there haven't been too many traditional episodes focused on traditional shit when we're doing movies like, you know, Buckaroo Banzai and Howard the Duck. People are like, why aren't you going to do a fucking real, like, mainstream?
Let's do some movies out there that are already out there.
About the brief background on the whole DC animated universe? Because this whole, they're pretty much hitting on all cylinders most of the time. But I saw Gotham by Gaslight. Man, that was a struggle. We talked about it. We did a show on it.
You weren't a fan of that?
It was a struggle.
I watched it two times.
Really?
Yeah. First time was with myself. Second time was with my daughter. I thought it was, hey, Ostrander. He's the writer.
Woo!
Number 67 of volume one. Good job. Proud of you.
It's a pretty easy name to remember.
Well, just so you know, the very first appearance was in The Brave and the Bold, number 25, in September of 1959.
And that's why you have Sean Lemley on a podcast.
But the modern one came out in 1987.
Oh, okay. So, 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
When shit got weird.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was the question?
Well, I guess the whole general background of these movies is like, and I'm going to kind of, this is going to segue wonderfully into the movie we're about to talk about. When did these movies go from like adapting source material to straight up getting dark, weird, and fucking
Well, so that's the thing. A lot of them do go directly from the source material. There are a lot of runs. Batman, Bad Blood, Son of Batman.
Sure,
The Aquaman Throne of Atlantis.
Okay.
Jesus Christ, there's so many of them. Flashpoint. The Judas Contract. I mean, all these are great movies that are taken directly from graphic novels.
Yeah, but even in the Killing Joke adaptation, we had a sex scene between Batgirl and Batman, which was like way out of left field.
Yeah. That was completely, that whole intro is completely contrived and was just silly and
absolutely
stupid.
Absolutely. And in this scene, and in this movie, we get a male stripper scene. And look, there's nothing more awkward than watching an animated dude stripping in a movie. I mean, it'd be one thing to see an animated woman do it, and that's weird enough. But then to see an animated...
No. Fuck that. I'm sorry. I have to call out how damn sexist that is. Why is that okay to see a woman stripping in an animated film?
Hey, I didn't say it wasn't okay.
Sorry, I guess I keep it down.
I didn't say it wasn't okay. I said there's nothing more awkward, because the dude himself even looked awkward when he was dancing. He looked like he was like, if you look at his face, he was like, I don't even know, am I supposed to be doing this? He looked like the puppet masters had taken over him. I mean, it was so awkward. I was like, maybe it was also because I was on the train, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, like, that's got to be a little...
I'm in public, you know? I mean, I felt just as awkward, don't get me wrong, when there's, I mean, there's a serious reveal with, what's her name? She's one of the new gods.
Yeah.
There's a serious Bush scene, and I'm gonna say Bush. I'm bringing back the word because that's the only I think.
Or
it was
lack
Bush.
Thereof.
Is that what it was? Because the shading looked like it was.
No. I think it was shaved.
Really?
I guess.
I'm gonna have to go to the
videotape and watch that scene again on the train.
Knockout is her name.
Okay, I don't remember her at all.
I don't either.
Well, maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves. I apologize.
Yeah.
And we should do a character breakdown of this movie.
They tried to introduce freaking everybody.
I know.
I mean, everything. They even included X-23 in this.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, I had that here on my notes.
That's the first thing I have right here. Yeah. So the character Scandal Savage, a takeoff of Vandal Savage, his daughter.
Was she made for the movie?
Ass name.
Is she a real character?
I have no idea.
Okay.
But yeah, she has two claws just like X-23, and she's short, dark hair just like X-23. She looks just like freaking X-23. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they show her in there. They have Two-Face in there.
That was a sick cameo. I like that a lot.
That was kind of cool. But they have Professor Pig in there. I mean, I've got a good list of them if you want me to go through it all.
Yeah, sure, please. I mean, I was going to go down the main roster of the Suicide Squad, but if you want to just shout out.
Well, there's Copperhead, Zoom, Bronze Tiger, Killer Frost, Silver Banshee, Blockbuster, Professor Pig, Vertigo, Knockout. Two other random characters, I don't know who they are. Of course, you have Harley Quinn. Of course, you have Deadshot.
Yes.
And, of course, you have Amanda Waller. Who else did they have in this fucking movie? Captain Boomerang. Who else?
Mm-hmm. Again, I was probably just going to talk about the main guys, but go ahead.
No. I'm going to throw every single fucking one of them.
By the way, see Thomas Howell doing the voice of Zoom? I thought that was pretty sick. I liked that a lot.
Didn't he also do it in the other movies?
In Flashpoint?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the same guy. Was it the same guy?
I think it was. I know it was the same animation. Because the character was drawn the same way.
And there was some continuity there. Spoiler, kids. There's some continuity there where they linked.
That was a big damn continuity link on there. Which we'll get into.
So the whole plot of this thing. I'm just going to throw this out here, okay? Because everyone's like, we're 17 minutes and everyone's like, what the fuck is the plot? The Task Force X is after a card that will get the...
Get out of hell free.
A get out of hell free card, yeah.
Hold on. You mean to tell me whatever fucking devil or angel came up with that and actually crafted it into an actual card couldn't think of anything better than a takeoff of Monopoly?
Yeah.
Really? Do not pass, don't go.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. That is interesting.
You've landed in free parking.
Yeah, I didn't look at it like that. I thought it was kind of a... That's kind of a corny setup. But see, every time I have those thoughts, every time those thoughts creep into my brain, I go, this is kind of a corny setup. And I'm like, but I'm watching an animated movie where people are wearing tights. So I should probably just like leave it at the door. You know what I mean?
Okay, fair enough.
I'm far past that point where I'm like, well, wait a minute. the whole thing's ridiculous to begin with.
Well, of course.
So I'm in. I'm obviously watching for a reason. I'm okay with it. It could have been like a, I don't know, get out of jail card or something. I don't know. It could have been anything, really.
No, I mean, you're right. I mean, you have to look at the ridiculousness of it. I mean, it kind of occurred to me in this movie where they're all the entire Suicide Squad is driving around a Winnebago and they stop over for gas and they go inside and get snacks and everything, and no one bothers to change out of their clothes. I mean, they're just
a giant, like, yeah, you know, Cobra G.I. Joe looking motherfucker just walking into the fucking McDonald's or wherever he is, and nobody says anything, you know?
Yeah.
Man, it's just, you know.
Someone's got to call him out.
He's driving the Winnebago.
Yeah.
Yells at the little kid or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like the DC. Like,
that should get you arrested, you know? It's fucked up.
That's a known felon right there. Yeah. And he's pretty easy to recognize.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize him from any of the comics. I think I mentioned that earlier. Copperhead or anything like that. I didn't know. Sometimes I don't know if these people are made up just for the movie, which I don't think they are.
No, he's not. He's been a character. He's always been, in my opinion, at least a two-bit character. I've never really known too much about him, but he's always seemed like DC's solution to like Scorpion
and
the Lizard at the same time. You know, they took everything. Oh, well, he's a body modifier. What the hell's a modification? Modifier. Yeah. Modifier. Oh, modifier.
They did say that. I was like,
it sounds Jewish.
Because they
modifier.
Do. They do the brief background, you know, where they shove exposition down your throat in like 5 seconds, where they're like, they just give like the quick background that works in any movie like this. You know, it's like Deadshot, separated from, lost his daughter, but he's a hell of a shot. Montage, you know.
Yeah, I like the Harley music Quinn. That they're playing when they're doing those intros, you know, and during a lot of the fight scenes, like the metal. Music.
Yeah,
it's like generic, but it's like metal.
Generic metal, but it's like, we want you to make it super hardcore, but we want you to do it on a keyboard.
Right. You know, it's good.
Yeah.
It's not like the old Street Fighter 2 animated movie. They actually got the rights to get Korin on there at the bottom. And credits, like, with a blind, you know, like. No, just telling my age.
Wow, I did not know that was on there. That was Street Fighter 2?
Yeah, the animated movie, which is on Crackle right now. This episode is brought to you by Crackle. if they're listening. But yeah, go down the roster again. You got Killer Frost.
So Killer Frost, I mean.
I know her from the CW show. That's about it. And some of the Justice League cartoons.
No, she's a pretty important character. She's part of the Flash Rogues.
Okay. See, they already had one Cold guy, though, you know? Captain Cold wasn't enough, so you had to give us another guy.
And you have Mr. Freeze. Yeah, but I mean, if you really want to go down the roster.
That's true.
I mean, there's a whole bunch of
them. How many freezing guys do you need? You know what I mean?
Well, it's a pretty common element, you know. It's like, how many fire guys do you need? Like, there's going to be a bunch of fire guys because there's different types of fire.
Like anything I say,
you got beams, you got blasts. You know?
I mean, it's a common element, Nick, you fucking idiot. we got to have at least 50 guys that have freezing powers.
I mean,
it's like electricity.
No, you're right.
You know,
that's a good point.
Water. You know, any of the. Yeah, you're going to have.
There's
water.
Not a lot of guys that do straight water, though. Like a guy that just. No, I don't freeze it. I just shoot water.
That's true.
I could drown you, but it would take some time because I gotta put you in a spot and, you know.
Yeah.
Let's see. I mean, Marvel has Hydro Man.
Is there really a guy named Hydro Man?
Yeah. Yeah. One of Spider-Man's enemies.
God.
Who is there from DC? I mean, besides, you know, like Aquaman, who can, you know, can talk to fish and, you know, lives in water.
Right.
But Marvel has Submariner. So who else controls water there?
Exactly. Yeah,
I guess it's not a very powerful element. Yeah, because you just like give somebody a bath.
I could like.
You look dirty.
Pressurized, and you know, I mean, I can't even. I need pressurizer man to help me pressurize. I can kill you immediately with a blast. Harley Quinn. She was a little annoying this movie, don't you think? A little bit.
I didn't really think that they did much for her character in this. I mean, the writing was just kind of weak for her. It was just kind of, all right, yeah, she's a character that everyone likes, so we're going to put her in there and make her just say some, you know, atypical Harley Quinn stuff and be done with it.
I got a question for you guys. And just answer honestly. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you don't have to hurt my feelings. You know, you're not going to. Maybe you will. But Harley Quinn. Now, like, I grew up watching on the animated series. I'm sure you guys did, too. That's where she was created. That's where I fell in love with her. I thought she was great. I even thought Margot Robbie's take on her in the live action movie was all right. It was good. But I feel like there's almost a wholesomeness to her in a way, even though she's bad from that animated show.
Oh, for
that
sure.
Gets lost. That got completely lost somewhere along the lines. Yeah. And like they've tried to retool it and like make her like, I mean, there was one movie that just came out where her and Nightwing went at it, you know, which is fine, whatever.
Yeah, the Judas Contract.
Was that the one? No, I think it was the Batman Harley, the Harley and Ivy, they team up. It was more of a comical take
Sirens
on it.
Sirens or something?
No, it just came out. It was like a Harley and Ivy team up, and it's more of their story. And Batman's in it. Booster Gold has a cameo. A lot of fans were rabid and just frothing at the mouth because they were like, "This is not like the comics." But it was really just more. It was supposed to be more of a throwback to how she was in the cartoon.
Yeah.
It was more playful and it was more comical.
Okay.
And that's kind of like the Harley that I like. And in this movie, it's like, I mean, she definitely like after Killer Frost freezes a dude, the guy's not gonna hurt him. He's froze. He's not gonna get. He's a guard, you know, at one of the buildings. She takes a baseball bat.
Just knocks his fucking leg off.
Yep. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know?
This movie was brutal.
So I guess my question would be like, do you think that she's... Do you like her better like as she is now kind of interpreted? Do you like kind of wish she was more like she was then? Or maybe that's like that's the end of an era kind of thing where it's like...
No, I mean, I think that was good because it was all about her love for the Joker.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like this... sick, twisted love, you know, yeah. And like, you know, she was supposed to be helping him, but he ended up, you know, just playing with her mind and messing her up, you know, and that's pretty deep stuff, you know, when for like a cartoon series when you're watching like 10 years old, you're like, whoa.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I won't necessarily say that I dislike her character now. I mean, it's a different interpretation.
Yeah.
It's not... the traditional Harley. I think that she loses a lot of her clowniness almost, you know, being, you know, the the clone basically of Joker, you know, just trying to follow in his footsteps. I mean, just being fanatical about him and wanting to do everything like him. There was a lot more comedy to her character in, you know, the cartoons and the way how she was created. That is lost now. Now it's just... Oh, she is a pretty psycho.
She's just a psycho. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. I mean, and that's it's not to say that that's necessarily bad. I mean, every season has a smell. What's the phrase I'm looking for?
To everything.
There is a season.
Turn. California Dream. Throwback.
Yeah, the Fat Records.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, man.
I'll such a winner day.
Well, you know what I'm trying to say though.
Well, high standard. That's what
I think. Here's the thing: you write her character however you want to write her, but write her at least make her. If just because you're psychotic doesn't mean you're retarded.
Yeah,
and she's kind of retarded in this movie. Like she says a lot of things that are kind of like, look, are you a child or are you a psychopath?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
We know you
might not be. You know, fucking, I'm putting my hand up in the air to kind of show like a high level of IQ or something like that because I clearly don't have a high IQ. I'm like, you know, you might be this smart, you know? But like, yeah, I mean, just because you're psychotic doesn't mean you're
retarded. She's a doctor.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So how's she going to be?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But she's like, who's going to lead the teamsies? Meesies? No, you're not dumb. You're not a kid. You're still you. You just killed a guy back in town, by the way. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It does lose out on that.
It does definitely lose out on that.
And it's a tough struggle because you're like, one part of you is like, it's a cartoon. It's a movie. Just calm down. Suspense of disbelief. But then you're like, no, but you still want the characters to be like, to be strong because you care about the characters.
Yeah.
So how much do you care? You know?
You want to have that depth, you know?
And that's the show.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bronze Tiger. Who the fuck is Bronze Tiger?
Once again, he's one of those characters who's shown up here and there. I mean, I've got one comic book, I think, where he meets up with Bat, and Bat has... You know, he's got a lot of respect for him because this guy is one of the best martial artists in the world.
Right.
But he's always one of those guys who had a chip on his shoulder, who's a vigilante, but not really because he doesn't like killing people, but he has no problem with people getting killed.
Right.
Just weird things like that, you know? One of those just twisted morals.
I mean, he was cool. Don't get me wrong. I mean, and the animation in this, I should say, off the bat, is good when it comes to the fight scenes.
Like, yeah.
I thought he was...
I agree. I thought he was pretty tight.
Yeah. He was a badass. You know?
Yep.
But I was just like... Do you have to be there? No. I don't know if they were just like, we really gotta have another badass on here that can do some fucking badass fighting. Because who else we got?
Well, that's true. I mean, he was one of the heavy hitters of the team.
Oh, shit. We're not even talking about Deadshot with Christian Slater doing that voice.
Yeah. I wasn't a fan of Christian Slater.
Really?
I was not a fan of Christian Slater. It just
it's not the voice.
His voice is a little too pitchy, I think, for what I expect Deadshot to sound like.
Should have been more of a deeper.
I mean, just something to have a little bit more authority. I mean, Deadshot is always. I mean, he's a cool character and he can hold his own.
Right.
But he's also just a little bit of a whiny bitch. So, yeah. You know, he can't be but so confident and everything. Yeah. And Christian Slater, I think, was just trying too hard to be confident.
Right. It took you out of it a little bit because all you had was Christian Slater.
Yeah, exactly.
I got you.
Exactly. My two cents.
I like that Vanessa Williams as.
Yeah. Yeah, she did good.
God, what's her name? Waller. Yeah.
Waller. Amanda Waller.
Yeah. Did she lose weights in the comics?
I have no idea. That's the second note I had right here, right behind X-23, is why did she lose weight?
Right. Why was that a thing?
However, yeah. Here is my theory.
Oh, snap. This is a Comic-Con's exclusive.
This is my theory? This might be your theory. Try it.
No, my theory was, but I fell asleep halfway through the movie because I was tired. But so that's why I'm not saying much. But I was like, maybe she has some type of disease, some type of parasitic worm or cancer, you know?
Oh, interesting.
And they're going to play into that, you know?
And that's why, like, she wants to get the car.
That's why she wants to get the car.
She knows she's done some horrendous shit.
Yeah.
And she's scared of death. And
yeah.
So. And death is knocking on your door.
So I did look up on, try to look up and figure out if this was adapted from source material. This was from a comic book.
Just now?
Earlier. Okay. Yes, unseen to you, I did it.
Hey, you're quick, man.
I looked, and underneath the title, Suicide Squad, Hell to Pay, I found there was basically two summaries of a book one and a book two. But it looks like it takes place right after this movie.
Oh, okay.
Because she has the card, and it's saying something along the lines of her trying to escape the wrath of the Spectre.
Interesting.
And she befriends Jason Blood, who... everyone knows who he really is also the counterpart to the demon Etrigan.
Etrigan the demon. Yeah.
Yes.
He talks like this.
Yeah. Who rhymes everything.
Everything's in a rhyme because I'm out of time.
It's so sublime.
Actually, that sounds more like the Wishmaster, who would always be like, grant you a wish, you know? Anybody remembers that beautiful series?
I want you to go F yourself.
Yeah, and the guy fucked himself. Like, he turned inward and everything. And it was like,
yeah, that was a good one.
Wow.
Wishmaster.
You could totally turn that around on that guy. Like, I want you to suck your own dick for eternity. Yeah. You have to, right? Yeah. I don't know. Sorry.
All right.
Off the beaten path. Sorry. Go ahead. Back to you.
No, I was done. Oh. I said my piece.
Back to those characters. Edric and the Demon, all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Fate's in this. He's the one original possessor of said card.
Yes.
Fucking Dr. Fate. And I don't know why, man. Maybe it's because of his quick burn in Young Justice, but this is the idea of this guy. I don't even know all that he can do. I guess he's more like a DC Doctor Strange. But that whole mystical world, like, show me more of that shit. I'm in. Like, take my money.
There's... I mean, you've always been a bigger fan of that stuff than I have, the whole mystical science.
Get this shit out.
I've got a number of comics that he's in, and he's a character that's hard to pin down. You know, what kind of character they're trying to be. Because, you know, obviously it's the persona of Dr. Fate who takes over different people.
That's what I like about it.
And they try to define who this person is, but a lot of times they'll realize that the crowd isn't really liking who this character is.
Mm-hmm.
So then they'll make him just a mute and then kill him off and give the mantle to someone else.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just try different characters. So I never got a good handle as to who Dr. Fate actually is.
But Dr. Fate chooses this male stripper for some reason.
Yes.
Because he likes... good physical condition. You
that's
know?
A good point.
That's
a good point.
He does have the tramp stamp.
Apparently the only
criteria. Yeah. He does. He did have a
tramp
stamp.
Did he have the tramp stamp before? Or did he get the tramp stamp because it became Dr. Fate? Never explained that.
Because it could work both ways. Like maybe the powers of Naboo gives him the tramp stamp.
Yeah.
Or... He was so egotistical, he could have gone out himself and been like, I'm getting that shit right now.
Yeah,
hold on. Give him the tramp stamp.
Yeah.
So Dr. Navu, whoever assigns who is going to be Dr. Fate.
Gives you a tramp stamp.
Automatically gets the tramp stamp. Yeah. Dating all the way back to like the 1400s when all this started.
Hey, we're just three guys hanging out.
You're just, you know, automatically getting the tramp stamp.
I don't write this shit. I'm just hypothetically, you know. Hypothetically, it's a word.
All right.
But yeah, and it's taken from him by what's her name? Gargantuan Power Girl. What's her name?
Who are you talking about?
The new guy chick.
And Scandal. Knockout. Knockout.
Yeah. Knockout and Scandal.
Yeah, I had to look that up to see who the hell she was.
Who are lesbians, ladies and gentlemen? They are lesbians in the movie, and they make out.
It's another one of those. They show
taboo.
They show that
watching on the train.
They show
like cartoon lesbians.
What the hell? Training cats and dogs.
it's more to the point to me where I think this movie was trying to go more for shock.
Exactly.
As I said, it was really, really brutal. A lot of deaths in there. They threw this sex scene in there that just was unnecessary.
Right.
It had nothing to do
with the story. It didn't move the story along. You could have shown their affection either way.
And I would have said the same thing if it was a guy and a girl or if it was two dudes. I mean, whatever.
Because I'm not afraid to say that kind of shit in 2018. And I don't care what kind of social justice warriors want to come out on Facebook and call me fucking crazy. But that's just who I am.
You're breaking all the rules.
I'm breaking all the rules. I'm taking us back to the 90s. I only say that because it actually would have been the 80s because I saw Weird Science not too long ago, and there's definitely a scene in there where the guy's like, the kid, Michael Anthony Hall, tells the fucking would-be warriors from another dimension that crashed into his goddamn house. He's like, you and your faggot friends, get out of here. And I'm like, oh my God. And like nobody raised hand. It was like, it's totally normal to say that to that other guy. It's totally normal.
He's
like,
being a faggot.
Right,
come on.
He's a weirdo with a chainsaw and half his face is leather. You know, it doesn't even fall into the parameters of what would be a condescending terminology nowadays. Yeah. But you say that shit now, and everyone's like, oh, get the fuck out of here. You're never going to work in Hollywood again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a good thing that nobody says it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing that nobody says anymore. But it is fucking weird when you like watch a movie like that. That was considered a wholesome movie in a way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I guess it really wasn't that wholesome, was it? Because, I mean, the chick was naked. They make her.
They make a chick to have sex with her.
Yeah, you're right. Why is that? Why do I remember that being like a wholesome movie? But really, if you think about it, it's really meant for like.
It's like that movie.
It's kind of fucked up, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like Overboard, you know? It's really fucked up, you know, when you think about it.
Well, Overboard's really fucked up.
Overboard, is that Adam Sandler?
No, Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn.
Oh, that one. Okay.
And I love that movie. That's like a staple for my youth. But like, he's right. You think about it, that's fucking date rape creepiness. Like, you lied to this woman. She had no knowledge of you, and you were.
Yeah,
you know?
Get her to do your laundry and stuff. And,
But then love they fell wins in, love. In the end.
Yeah, love won in the end. You know?
Yeah.
Gotta love Kurt Russell.
Okay.
You know?
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, thanks for saving us. Thank you.
Yeah.
I forgot what we were talking about.
We were kind of running through the characters, but I mean, we can move past that if you want.
Oh, the plot also does involve some fun cameos, so let's talk about those cameos. Zoom and his other C-listers, they're after the card for the same reasons. I guess Zoom is in kind of a stuck death mode.
So, yeah. Spoiler alert. That's one of the things that I really loved about this.
That was cool, right?
This movie is a straight continuation right after Flashpoint. For anyone who has not seen Flashpoint, or if you have seen it and you need a refresher, Zoom is actually killed in the end by Batman, a.k.a. Thomas Wayne.
Badass.
Who shoots him... between the eyes, basically. In the fucking head.
Yeah.
Enough so therefore he can stop sucking off the speed force from the world, which Flash cannot access to be able to right his wrong and stop himself from stopping Zoom from killing his mother.
Amen.
But somehow Zoom is able to slow his death enough to go into this other world and start forming a team and gathering and looking for this card. That's impressive to me. He's able to stop his death enough to, figure out what to do, sit around, probably mope for a few days, go out, find out the fact that there is a get out of hell free card, then go around and pull some other baddies and say, hey, do you want to join a super team to help me stay alive? There's nothing in it for them. There's no reason for them to do it.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
But it seems like he's wasting a lot of time kind of going through all this.
Yeah.
Get your
breath. It's okay. This is our smoking commercial.
But the fact that, you know, in one scene where they kind of preluded to it in this, where his head from beneath the mask just starts bleeding and you don't see any wounds and everything. Even I looked out, I was like, where
smiles.
The fuck is that
he
coming
does, like,
from?
He that Jim Carrey Dumb and Dumber smile where he wipes the blood away and he's like, yeah. I just made the face for listening.
Because... Yeah,
I do this shit all the time. I'm like, guys, I just made a face. Don't worry about it. Don't
worry. But they do show it later on where he takes off his mask, and fucker has a hole blown right through his skull.
Dude, I love... Okay, and this is probably... I love the CW show, The Flash. It's lighthearted. It's fun. It's not trying to be serious. It just is what it is, and it's just a good time to watch. But when they do the Speed Force episodes, I fucking love those Speed Force episodes. Like, it's just... Some of it doesn't make sense.
It's
some
all paradoxical.
But it's just fun. Like, the idea of, like, moving so fast that everything else is just still around you and, like...
Oh, yeah.
Doing all these extra things within that time. And, like, I love that shit. So that concept, even though it was out of fucking left field craziness, it was, like... It was really, really intriguing to me that he could slow his death down to a degree where, for days, he's just... getting weaker. And I love that part where Deadshot's like, something's wrong, he should be faster.
Yeah, exactly.
He should have killed us by now.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Zoom's running after them in the Winnebago.
Well, it's so funny because I said something like 2 minutes before, but maybe not 2 minutes, maybe closer to like 20 seconds before, right. Deadpool, like, actually did. I was like, what the hell here? This is Zoom.
Yeah, because they burst into the strip club in a Winnebago.
Yeah.
They steal the guy. And yeah, I get shocked for like 2 seconds, but when you're a speedster, that's like... That's nothing.
Yeah,
he was nowhere to be found. Eternity. Like, wait a minute. Did we just get Hanna-Barbera out of this thing? Did they just like completely forget about the character? So it's good. It was cool. Is this a better Suicide Squad movie than the live action one? Like, if you had to hold the two up to each other, and we're like, which one?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah,
I think so. I mean, the live action one, the whole storyline with the Enchantress was just too confusing, too jumpy, and I couldn't. I mean, you knew that there was a bad person, but you don't really know what the bad person's objective was. You know, where her brother suddenly came into this thing. It was too just thrown together and just gave this team this... It was more about their trek throughout the city to get to the bad person.
The stakes
you didn't really
higher.
Give a shit about it.
Yeah.
This one, I mean, you actually cared about it. I think it was good, but it's just... Although, I mean, you knew who the bad guy is, but you don't really know anyone's motives.
I like it.
This.
I like it because they have. There were so many people after the one card. You know?
Yeah.
I think that's what made this movie kind of intriguing.
Yeah.
You have a group of guys who are not good people going after this thing.
Yeah. And, I mean, what we haven't said here is, you know, yeah, we talk about Zoom and his crew, but the main baddies who are after it is Vandal Savage.
Right.
You know, who's after the card and.
Who's pretty much, what's his name from Highlander, the villain in Highlander. He's just this immortal fucking badass.
There could be only one.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, he's... God damn, this thing keeps squeaking here. It's annoying me.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
Well, get non-squeaky chairs.
I'm sorry.
Couch.
I didn't even up the ply on the toilet paper.
No, I mean, Vandal Savage, he's a cool character, but...
Is he cool, though? I mean, come on, let's be honest. You don't have to say that just for the show.
No, I mean, he has been neat in some important storylines, but... He also seems like the best of the B-listers, you know?
I mean, he annoys the fuck out of me. Maybe it's because, like, that DC Legends show just spent so long chasing after him for a whole goddamn season. It was like, guys, come on. But, like, he's immortal, and at that line, it's like, I'm immortal, not invulnerable. Like, okay, come on, we fucking get it.
Yeah,
all right,
well,
but
yeah,
you,
well, yeah.
Come on, immortal to me means if you fucking kill me, I'm still gonna live. That's what that means to me, because I grew up on Highlander movies. Unless you cut my head off.
Well, of course. I mean,
you know. But what he's saying is that I guess he just, as long as he doesn't get hit by a car, specifically like Toyota Prius, then he's okay.
What's with a Prius? Why are you hating on a Prius, man?
Well, I'm just saying, like, even a Prius could kill this guy. Is what I'm saying.
My brother's sister's mother drives a Prius.
Oh, fuck.
Wait, that would make her my mother too. Damn it.
Andy's frozen in chocolate. Like, is this the show?
Like, yeah, this is really it. This is
okay.
There are no questions.
This is really it.
There's no real discourse. It's just fucking ramblings. I'm sorry, I lost track.
That's okay.
Guest here who fell asleep during the movie. The host isn't even controlling the conversation. Sean, you're the expert. Come on, take us back to where we need to be.
Well, you know what? I want to take us back to how just saying this movie was just unnecessarily shocking and really trying.
Yeah.
Right after the sex scene, which wasn't really even a sex scene, it was just naked women making out.
Well, we know what
out.
Sex is. We're not.
But then right after that, they cut to a scene where it's a security guard sitting there watching porn.
You know, they jerk it off because it was moving a little bit.
I didn't quite see that.
He started to do the. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and they're not showing the screen, but they're showing him obviously looking at a TV screen, and you can hear the pornographic sex sounds in the background. It's just like there was no point to that. You could have made it a ball game. You could have made it a hockey game, just some kind of sports announcer. It could have been literally anything, but they just had to throw pornography in
there. Did they want to be so immersive with it all because it's Suicide Squad, maybe? Because they're like, well, this is our edgier world, Suicide Squad. So it's like everything in this world has to be so
I think that's bullshit. I think that's bullshit. I mean, it's one thing if you're going to do that a little bit with Justice League Dark. I think that can maybe get away with it because it does deal with the seedier side of things. When you're dealing with Justice League, you're still dealing with the characters and the city and the mythos of Gotham, of Metropolis, of Keystone City, you know, all these same characters. So they're not all of a sudden, because it's this sect group, going to be
edgier. I agree with you.
Edgier.
I think they could have kept it how it is from the very opening when there's a heist with Deadshot and his, I guess, former counterparts of another Task Force X.
That was probably Task Force 9.
Yeah, sure. That's a good point. You're probably right. It's not like Leonard Six, you know, or like a Bill Cosby movie where they never made five other movies.
That was such a fun movie.
I know it was, you know. Damn,
he wrote an ostrich.
I know he did. Melted butter.
I'm not familiar with this movie.
You never saw
Leonard Six.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
We'll do it for the show. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It's so obscure. We'll get two downloads. No, but back to what I was saying, like where they start this thing off where there's like a heist, and it's not really a heist, but kind of felt like a train heist where they have to get the guy.
Yeah, it was assassination.
Sure. And they're killing all these guys, you know, and there's blood, and, you know, it's very kind of ninja scroll kind of violence, you know, ninja scroll kind of animation with the blood spurting and everything like that.
Okay, you I know, see that
but
a little
not,
bit, yeah.
But not like... Shut it! You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's there. It's blood. Like, we get it. Okay, this is a darker movie. So, like, everybody has plenty of time if they got this movie for their, like, 6-year-old, like, to turn it off. They got plenty of time. Because as soon as that happens,
it's not plenty of time. It's just they get introduced to it right away.
Sure, but I'm saying they see it right away, and, like, what's her name?
Yeah,
What's her name? B-Lister McGurk powers through that other guy's chest.
I don't know who those characters are.
I have no idea.
I even tried looking up the cast and trying to figure out who it was. I don't know who they are.
I looked them up online. The names were so forgettable. It was in one ear and out the other.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically...
I looked it up with my eyes.
It's basically a fake Joker and Harley Quinn.
And they were making out.
Husband and wife going on their second honeymoon, but they're all wearing like the Jester's ears.
Vertigo, I think, was from the Batman animated series.
I mean, Vertigo, he's a known character, at least. B-lister, of course.
Sure,
they're all B-listers, but, you know, a known
character. I'm fine with that. I think that was kind of cool. I love it when you throw some B-listers in a movie like that. A, for, like, the comic nerd to be like, oh, cool, it's that guy, and then you kill him off. That's fine. I'm cool with that. But, like, I think you're right. I think the violence was enough to kind of give it that edge.
Well,
they didn't have to go for the full shock and awe with everything else.
It's funny as you say that. Yeah, you know, pulling those B-listers and kill them off. That goes back to this movie. How many people did they kill?
Six.
Copperhead. Zoom. Bronze Tiger. Killer Frost. Silver Banshee. Blockbuster. Professor Pig. Vertigo. Knockout. Vandal Savage. And these two other people. Every single one of them, killed.
Did Knockout die, though? Because he was in the hospital bed recovering. Scandal's over her bed, you know?
No, I thought that she did die, though.
He shot her one more time, but then there was a cutaway scene where she was in the hospital, and it was like, boop, 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 you know, Scandal, like, crying, you know, like...
All right, well, fine. Okay, so maybe not Knockout, but that still
did
takes us...
Did you say
us...
that they couldn't find Zoom's body, or...?
They looked for Zoom's body, but he got shot the fuck up. But, hey,
I mean, he had a hole in his head.
I assume he disappeared because he wasn't from that...
from that era, that
once he...
Maybe.
Like, didn't he fade away, like a weird...
I don't know. I just saw him get shot the fuck up.
I'm like, I just can't articulate a point. I'm like, didn't he fade away like a weird kind of just gonna trail up like my mom does sometimes when she's not telling? There was a time when we took the boat. Hello? What happened? Where'd you take the boat?
But the point is they killed off everyone in this.
Did.
And it's... I mean, okay, maybe one or two characters.
I didn't even
the body
think
disappeared, or they're in a hospital. But no, they've killed off everyone in this. And it's like, how do you write a storyline that's that exact?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that finite. That means that you cannot... I mean, this one is a continuation from Flashpoint. You have to bring in a whole nother story arc stream end of this. You have to leave that one dead where it lays and, you know, pick something else up.
So this is not your favorite DC animated movie?
It's not.
No.
It's not.
But you like it better than the live-action Suicide Squad?
I mean, they're both fun.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Andy, you saw the original Suicide Squad,
no,
right?
I didn't.
You didn't see the live-action Suicide Squad? Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. You're not missing much.
Yeah. It's...
The first half is really good, I think, in my humble opinion, but I think the second half gets fucking, like, side-railed. Like, somebody got shot in the writer's room. They couldn't figure out how to finish writing it. I think they do a good job introducing everybody, but then...
You're right. The beginning part of it's really good. They really start off right, but then it just, as I said, it got too chaotic.
Yeah.
I think too much just got left on the editing.
I would have liked
floor.
To see this story live action version of this. I think that would have been really cool. I like the idea of introducing Dr. Fate and having something mystical as like the, there's a term for it when there's an object in a storyline that everyone's a MacGuffin, I think.
Yeah.
So I think that's fine as the MacGuffin. That's fine. I don't care. Because every Indiana Jones movie I've ever seen has a similar kind of thing, and I'm fine with it. I don't care. It's fun. It drives the story. But then it's like, I think even maybe some of those shock and awe moments would have translated a little bit better, too, in live action. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it would not, I don't think, have been as much of a faux pas. Because it's like the shock itself isn't necessarily what it is, but what it is in the medium that it's being presented.
Right.
You know, if it was live action, they're at a strip club, okay, no big deal, but it's live, it's cartoon and they're at a strip club. You know, just the medium didn't
and
feel
And just for
right.
the kids at home that might have been sensitive to an earlier discussion on the subject matter, I've actually been in a male strip club before, so just for the record, no weeble wobble eye.
What?
I grow dizzy and fall most everywhere I go.
All right.
Favorite scenes? Did you have one? And you can, by the way, if you have any additional notes, please.
No. I mean, that was really kind of all my notes. As a matter of fact, that was exactly all of my
snap.
Notes.
Yep. Andy, you're wrestling with something over here.
I don't have anything written down here. I like the scene. I can't remember. That's going to be good for the podcast. People are going to be like, this guy is an idiot.
No, not at all. They're going to be like, why is that host? Why didn't he ask any questions about the actual movie itself other than, hey, was Harley Quinn too much in this?
Yeah.
Some good questions.
What were your favorite scenes?
I don't know if I had one. Although I do enjoy, you know what? That's not true. I actually really enjoyed the scene where, I can't remember his name. Was it Max, like Maximum Edge or something, the stripper?
Oh, like Steel Maximus
Steel
or something.
Maximus, yeah. I love that scene where he thought he was getting those babes back to his house.
Yeah.
And they stole the car and he tried to like fight him off at the last second, grab the helmet and they knocked him out.
It was knockout and scandal.
I was smiling and I was laughing during that scene. It got to me and I was like, I thought that was a clever scene and how the temple moves away after it kicks him, boots him out, you know what I mean? And then has to move to and find a new Naboo or whatever.
Yeah, I can see that.
I thought that was funny, and I thought that was good. You know, and he's sitting around the campfire telling the story about how it all happened. I thought that whole scene where he's telling the rest of these guys, he's like ruthless killers who haven't killed him yet, by the way. They're sitting around a campfire. Like, it was such an out-of-place kind of scene, and I think it would have really worked in a live-action movie
as
well.
That's cool. I got that. Yeah, I mean, you have all these criminals sitting around protecting this once former hero.
And I liked it when Deadshot blasted away Zoom. That was pretty badass.
Yeah. Yeah, that was. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I thought the movie was good. There wasn't really anything that stood out to me as a favorite scene.
Yeah.
There were a lot of scenes in this that I think were unnecessary to the plot point. Like, you know, at the first, you know, even if you said it was a really cool shout out, I in my opinion, having Two-Face in that whole scene in there was unnecessary.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The fact that they specifically Vandal Savage had to have Professor Pig to put that card in.
No,
really?
There's so many other surgeons in the world.
Yeah. Why would you go to a psychotic surgeon who likes to cut people and just...
Yeah, I don't buy that he's the most brilliant surgeon.
There was no point in that scene.
It's probably a guy at John Hopkins who's way better. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know if they go
there. I mean, but even that one scene, you know, where Deadshot goes into the crack house looking for his daughter, it just... I understand, yeah, he loves his child and everything, and they're separated, but that did nothing to move forward the plot or to build up his character.
I don't give a fuck about that kid.
Yeah.
Why do I give a fuck? I want you to put your sexy uniform back on and shoot some people. You know what I mean?
Deadpool? Or Deadshot?
Deadshot, yeah.
Okay.
So what's your favorite DC animated movie? I got a couple. I love that All-Star Superman animated movie. I think it's one of the coolest. I love the comic, but that animated movie, it worked so well in animation.
Yeah. Yeah,
I love that shit. I don't know. Did you ever see that, Andy?
No.
No, it's really good. It's like all these little short stories in one, just basically talking, that really just focus on how Superman is just, in a way, an underrated character. I know it sounds absurd to say that, but he's like,
he's very one-dimensional. Right. Or was very one-dimensional.
And this kind of explores his Forge of Solitude, how he's building all those robots, and like, how smart he actually is, and how he like saved this thing that was from a dying planet that consumes stars, and he was like feeding it yellow energy from the sun, you know what I mean, to kind of keep it alive. Just all these little facets about his character that were explored in that comic, and in the cartoon, in the animated movie, the voice acting is great, but also like some of that artwork from the comic just lent itself really well to animation.
Yep,
and I thought it was really good. And then I guess I'd have to say the Dark Knight 1 and 2.
I think so.
I thought they were really good.
I mean, they were good, but they're just, it's a straight adaptation from the books, and that to me, man, just gets a little dry when it's taken that damn literal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those are good books.
So you're not a Zack Snyder
fan. Not my favorite artist, not my favorite author.
So you didn't like Watchmen?
No. No. I'm sorry. I'm not a big fan of, what was it, Frank Miller?
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of those. I mean,
well, what's his name wrote,
Alan Moore?
Yeah, Alan Moore wrote
Watchmen.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Zack Snyder adaptation of it was like a panel.
Yeah, shot exactly. Shot in a lot exactly. of ways. Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, I also thought that book was a little boring.
Damn, we got some controversial moments here on this episode.
Well, I mean, even 300.
It is a little long. 300.
I mean, however, on the counterpoint to that, Sin City, I thought was fucking great. You know, Frank Miller.
Sin City's more straightforward and a little more cut up.
Yeah. It worked better in that format. Yeah. Plus, it was also done in a very comic booky feel.
Sucks that first Sin City movie. You know, it's so groundbreaking. It's still great to this day. I still love it.
The second one was awesome.
The second one, I still like the second one. I feel like almost the second one came out too late. Had it maybe come out, like right
it,
on the
it tail just of it. It's. I mean, yeah. I know. I just said it was awful. I mean, it wasn't that bad, but it didn't really have anything going for it. It didn't have the shock in all that the first one did.
It almost had a lot of moments like this movie had, where it was like, remember how there's a whore in an alleyway. Remember that? Juicy.
Yeah,
it's like we saw the horrors before the other thing. Now you got to step it up a little bit, you know. Got to have them throwing some feces at each other. You know what I mean?
Why would they feces? They're not monkeys.
No, what? I'm just saying, like, you know, to step up the
the gratuitous
right
graphicness.
Andy, do you have a favorite DC animated movie?
Not really.
You don't really care. I don't fucking you know. fucking nerds disgust me.
Yeah, they've come out.
Do you have a favorite DC movie that's come out?
Wonder Woman. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I liked it. You know.
Yeah, I liked it a lot too.
I'd say, you know, it was a little too feminist for me. You know.
Yeah.
They just had struck that chord a little too hard.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it was
they definitely
good.
Hit that chord. It was hitting it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that movie a lot. The ending I thought was a little. We'd kind of seen it, you know, before. I was like, I couldn't tell if that was Doomsday she was fighting, or if that was like, what's his name?
It was the God of War.
Ares, yeah.
Ares, yeah.
But yeah, I'm kind of stoked for that Wonder Woman sequel, you know.
It's gonna be good. I have to say, for the animated movies, my favorite is still Doom.
I like Doom a lot.
That one was just brilliant. Yeah. I mean, just the way. Once again, that one was an adaptation, but maybe it was just because I hadn't read that novel, I didn't know that, but. It was just really good.
Oh, I love that. I mean, there's that scene in Doom at the end where, like, I guess the world's, of course, in peril in, like, you know, 30 seconds. You know, it's about to get destroyed by a giant fucking meteorite that somehow Vandal has made happen with some series of explosions or whatever.
That's what he does.
Yeah, take my word for it. So anyway, this thing is impending doom, right? You know? And Superman just turns to Batman. He's like, I could fly up and turn the world around and spin the time backwards and see if I could stop this thing or buy some more time. And Batman just looks at him like he's working on something and just doesn't even look him in the face. He's like,
I don't even have enough time right now to explain to you all the reasons why that won't work. It's like, that's so good, because that's exactly what you say. Like, they're friends, they love each other, but it's like,
yeah, dude, no, you're
that's,
an idiot.
That's a horrible idea. That's a horrible idea, you know?
No,
I love little shit like that in those movies.
That one's really good. I also am a big sucker for Flashpoint Paradox. I tend to watch that one quite a bit.
That's a good one. Oh, I forgot about the one where they fight the Bizarro Justice League. That's pretty tight. Because you get to hear a James Woods voice in Owlman.
Yeah, what the hell was,
and,
what was that?
And his back and forth with the with Batman is great.
Yeah.
In that.
Yeah, I mean, they're all, as I've said many, many times on this,
the
animated DC is absolutely killing it. At least in the race between them and Marvel.
Why can't they strike the same kind of chords in the live action first? You know what I'm saying? Because you got all these animated movies.
They're doing too much.
Yeah?
They're trying to do too much. It's DC always has been more out there in terms of its storylines. It's always been more mystical. It's always been more sci-fi. It's always been more.
So it's not cinematic?
Yeah.
In my opinion, in that in a live action panel, I just don't think it can bring a lot of these same stories.
Yeah,
you know, you can do it with Batman, because Batman is, at the end of the day, a rich guy in a suit.
Right.
You know, it's not as fantastical. Whatever you see could obviously, with some extensions of the brain, be believed.
Right.
You know, and I mean, and even same thing with Marvel. Whereas Marvel does have, you know, cosmic characters and it does have superpowers.
It works for some
they
reason.
They keep the fights localized in a believable setting.
Well, Marvel takes place in the real world, and DC has, like, Metropolis.
Right.
And,
That's true. That's true. I mean, I don't know, but just, it's something like even movies like Guardians of the Galaxy, where it's, you know, otherworldly, it's still somehow believable.
You know right from the get-go, though, that it's space.
Yeah.
And I think, like, that Superman Returns movie, since we're talking DC, right? The coolest thing that movie could have done to really get off the ground right, in my opinion, again, we're just talking, is if they had that motherfucker in space in the very beginning of the movie on a planet helping out some other people, or maybe not, maybe he's lost, he's just, you know, or maybe he's like actually finding some remnants of Krypton. If they gave us 15 minutes of that in the beginning, that movie would have been a million times better. But instead, he comes up out of nowhere, he's like, he says he was gone for a while because he was looking for it, and it was supposed to be a weird continuation of the original Reeves movies. You know, God bless Brandon Routh for giving all he had. I think he was fine. But that whole story is like, then they tried to kill him, and he comes back.
Yeah, yeah. It got wonky.
He just dragged, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like if you put somebody in space, it's going to be 10 times better, because it can just go crazy.
The opportunities are limitless.
Absolutely.
Out there,
you know?
Because it's all the unknown.
Green Lantern movie where like 20 minutes of it is in space, and the rest of it's like, he stops a plane from hitting somebody, and it's like, what? No. Like, put that motherfucker in Oa, you know? Let's go nuts with it.
I'm with you. You know? I'm with you. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think that they can adapt them well.
Yeah.
They need to make it more grounded for them to really go over well. And that doesn't mean, I mean, and that's why I like things, Batman v Superman, you know, Wonder Woman. You know, those movies are all good right up until just about the final, you know, the denouement, the final, you know, fight scenes, in which shit just gets crazy. All of a sudden, you got Doomsday coming up out of nowhere, who doesn't look a thing like Doomsday, but he's the same character, and world's, you know, shit starts falling apart.
Same
thing in Wonder Woman. I mean, every single movie is like that. It's like, come on, guys, let's bring it back a little bit.
Let's bring it back to the basics.
Back to the Waffle House.
I'm going back to the Waffle House with people just like me.
That's where I want to be with people just like me.
People just like me, you know? It's just like cheers. Let's rate this thing and go home, you know?
All right.
Six beautiful ratings on this show. We have Call It a Work good, Movie Theater good, Buy It on Blu-ray good, Catch It on Cable good, Stick with the Flu good, and Solitary Confinement good. Damn, that hasn't happened in a long time.
Yep.
I'm going to rattle those off like a motherfucker. I'm going to go ahead and say this is... This is a Catch It on Cable good. This is a Catch It on Cable good.
Catch It on Cable.
You know, if you saw it on there, you know, you're flipping through, fuck it, I'll watch a little bit. Yeah, right? And he would just watch it again just to catch the parts that he missed.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to go ahead and call it Sick with the Flu.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's... If I'm just flipping through the TV, you know, nothing really on, I'm probably not going to stop at it. But if I'm going to be sitting at home and I'm just sick, just looking for something I can put on that I just not really care about, I'll go to this all day long. I'll pull up my Vudu account, pop it on. And
there you go.
Therefore, I can pass in and out as I'm watching it.
So you got this on the Vudu too?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
$20.
God damn it. I kind of wish I had to waste my money now.
I know. I've spent $20 in the fucking Gotham by Gaslight, too, and I was like, oh, no.
That was good. I liked Gotham
by
Gaslight.
You like that more than this one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Because the reveal of Jim Gordon.
That was good.
That right there was enough for me to like it. Plus, spoiler. I always like it when they take a common character and put him out of time and place and put him someplace else. You know, it just... It's nice to imagine that imagery. It's like Marvel's, what was it, 1907?
Yeah, oh, 1708.
Or 1708. Yeah, 1907, so what the fuck? Yeah, 1708, well, you know? That was a really good one. Neil Gaiman was brilliant. Let's take all these same characters and let's put them back in
I love that
Renaissance.
Shit. That shit was good. I liked it.
Yeah.
I just, for me, like the animation in Gotham by Gaslight, man. If it's going to be an animated movie, like I understand, like I'm not trying to... But the animation was like really blocky and like...
Yeah, yeah.
If it's an animated movie, just spend the extra couple of, pesos and get this thing down the road, you know?
Is Jorge in Mexico the one actually drawing this?
Yeah, he's the one drawing this motherfucker now. Because everybody's trying to go CGI with everything, you know? So nobody's doing the old Disney flip the pages, you know? There you have it. That's our rating. I really didn't have anything else. Is there anything else that you're hyped for that's coming out soon?
Well, I mean, obviously you have Deadpool coming out this month.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really, really good. I'm excited for that.
Wait, Deadpool comes out in May.
You sure?
Yeah.
Fuck. I thought it was at the end of this month. God damn it.
We got that Infinity War moved up to the 27th at the end of this month.
Maybe that's what it is. I just had them backwards.
How hyped are you on that Infinity War movie, man? I'm so fucking hyped. It's ridiculous.
I'm getting there.
Really?
Man,
I've seen that trailer like 20 times, man.
My worry is that it's just going to be too much.
It's going to be 2.5 hours.
Well, and they're breaking out into two movies, and I hope to God that they do that to help spread it out.
Whew.
God damn.
You want to talk about inappropriate shit, man? I came so many times when I watched that trailer. Not really.
On the train?
But my body gyrated enough, so I was like, this is what it would be like if I had... Dude, when Thanos fucking brings the gauntlet down to Captain America, and he's like, he catches it, and it's, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's all I want to see.
I hear you.
I'm the guy that loved it when Age of Ultron was on, and these guys were just sitting around a goddamn apartment laughing and joking. I was like, I could watch 2 hours of this. Because it was just my characters, they're just on the screen.
It was cool.
You know?
It was cool.
So I don't need much to, like, please me. I'm very easy to please. But I'm so hyped on that. Man, I think it's going to be incredible.
No, it is. It's going to be really good. I mean, then after that, we have Deadpool. After that, we have... What?
Do we care about the Han Solo movie? We don't care.
No, right? I don't give two shits about that.
I don't care either. I don't know why.
Star Wars is good for its collective, not for its individual characters.
Yeah.
I wouldn't watch a movie on Darth Vader I don't want to see just a single character. I want to see the collective.
That's a really good point. I haven't heard anybody say it like that either. Yeah. Everybody else I talked to is like, yeah, I don't know why. I don't care. But that's a really good point.
The character himself is not strong enough to
interest Han Solo works better by bouncing off of other characters.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, you're right.
Good point. Yep, yep.
Andy, you hyped for anything coming down the line?
Come on, man.
You don't give a fuck. I was talking to this guy about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and I was like, oh, wasn't it awesome, man? And if you don't mind, like, Andy's exact words back to me were like, yeah, I mean, it was like, I fast forward, I was like, fight scene, CGI, I just kind of, it was like that whole Groot dance scene, I was like, damn. Ice cold, man.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, yeah. A man's a literal.
Fast forward.
No, I got you.
That's one of my hobbies. Yeah. So I just like to get the gist.
Did you get the gist? Yeah. And then you're good to go.
See, I'm good to go.
Because you want
to
be able to comment on it.
A little bit.
When you come on the show.
You can see. So far, that's not working out for me. But yeah.
So, what is the best movie that's come out in 2017?
Movies, man. I watch HGTV all the time. That's
what are you watching
what
now?
What is the best HGTV show?
Fixer Upper, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really with Chip with Joanna. Gameses?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chip and Joanna Games.
This really is a geek podcast for the rest of us.
I'm saying,
I've watched a lot of it myself.
Yeah. I don't watch any of that. I just got rid of my cable.
Oh man.
I need to get rid of my cable. I pay for cable, and my cat has now thrown up in the exact same spot on both of my cable boxes, and now neither of them will turn on. So it's about time for me to get rid of the box and, just cut out my cable.
What? That's a fucking... What are the chances of that?
The exact same spot on both cable boxes,
the
and
cable
they both
boxes?
Cut out now.
Because they were warm. Maybe she was sitting on them.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Which is fine, but don't fucking throw up all over
them.
What the
fantastic.
Hell?
That's fantastic. They won't
it's
turn
awful.
On
It's awful. What?
They won't turn on now.
No, and it's a special type of hex nut tool that I don't have that I can't, you know, get into it, try to clean it up, and, I don't know, blow dust on it like you would a Nintendo cartridge to see if I can get it to work. But I can't do anything. I can't even look and see if it's just an internal fuse in there that I just need, that I could replace. I can't get into it.
Shit.
I'm locked out, man.
I hate it when you can't get into it.
Where are you going with that one?
If anything we said on the show caused any kind of alarm or offense, maybe we were a little too intrusive, maybe we weren't intrusive enough, just remember at the end of the day, it's just fiction. Don't take us seriously. Please, for the love of God, don't take anything we say seriously. Andy, Sean, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for coming over here and hanging out, man.
Yes, well, thank you for having us. We really had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
You know, and next time, just let us know, and we'll be happy to bring my ukulele.
Oh.
We can play you a little doodad.
That would be nice.
To help out the outro of the song.
That would be nice.
The song and the show.
In the show.
Yes.
Andy, thanks for coming. Oh,
thank you for having me.
It's good seeing. It's good being near you.
It's good seeing you. It's been too long. It's
been too long.
That could be why. Don't take us too long.
Now, if you don't really think about it, if you want to like apply like science behind it, maybe. Okay. Physics, nah. But. Are we recording?
Psychedelic dreams drift home. A lonesome balloon sails on the floor. Diversified, we have done. In question, I'm the home. Control it.